helps if you switch it on. Well, good morning and a very warm welcome to one and all, especially to any visitors we may have with us. I'm not aware of any intimations other than those set out in order of service, and I would therefore commend them to your attention, as the old expression goes. So it's lovely to be back here once again, on this side rather than looking down the church. Our call to worship. We're here to worship the living God, to offer heartfelt thanks and praise, not because we are holy, not because we are good, but because we are loved, forgiven, and free. Let us worship God. Let us sing together the first hymn in the order of service. Hymn 124, Praise the Lord. Hymn 124. Good morning, boys and girls. How are we all? Good. Well, the minister's away on holiday this week, so I'm filling in for her. And I take it you'll all know what this is. That's right, it's a remote control for a television. A wee history lesson. A long time ago, ask your grannies about and granddads about this. If you wanted to switch on the television, you had to get up, walk across the room and press a button on the TV. And if you wanted to change a channel, you had to do pretty much the same thing. You had to walk over to it and press the right button for the right channel. And at one time, there was only two channels. It's all very primitive, isn't it? Yeah. So, but nowadays we've got remote controls, not just for televisions, but for lots of other things as well, which means that we don't need to do as much for ourselves. Now, these things have got lots of different names. I've heard them called the thing that does it. But I think my favourite one is a doofer. I think it's my dad used to call it a doofer. And I asked him why. He says, it does for us what we should really do for ourselves. You know, it do for us. So that's with the remote control. But imagine if you could have a remote control for lots of other things. I don't know, are any of you at school yet? A couple of you. Well, wouldn't it be good if you had a remote control or a doofer that would do your homework for you? Yeah. Or one that would tidy up your bedroom, pick up all your clothes and toys, and put them back in the right place. Or there's just so many different things that it would be good to have a doofer for. But when you think about it, I'm not sure it would be a really good idea. Because if we've always got something or someone doing things for us, we forget how to do it ourselves, and we soon lose the ability. And faith's a wee bit like that. Faith is something that we've got to have all the time. We can't rely on a doofer. We can't switch faith on and off when we want it. And you sometimes get people who think God can be controlled a bit like with a remote control, that they only need God when they're in trouble or when they're feeling sad, and they ignore God the rest of the time. You can't just switch God on and off and think you can operate him like a doofer. You've got to think about God all the time. In the Old Testament, it says, you will seek me and find me whenever you want me with all your heart. Following God is something that we've got to put all our heart into. Just like anything else that we want to do really well, we've got to work hard at it and put our heart and soul into it. So just remember that in the week ahead, that we can only find God by putting everything that we've got into it and putting our whole heart into it. So let us pray. Lord, remind us that there are things which we must do for ourselves. Above all, help us to love you with all our heart and soul and might. And we now pray the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we will now sing hymn 522, The Church is Forever God's People Are Praising. Hymn 522.
Thank you.
And the young people go off to the halls to continue with their learning. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you for your steadfast love towards humanity. You created us, provided for us, watched over us. And although we chose to disobey you, although we chose to go our own way, although we chose to leave you, you did not leave us. You continue to call us and guide us, always longing for our return. Eternal God, we praise you for your steadfast love towards humanity, for speaking to us through your prophets, and offering us chance upon chance to hear and obey your word. For although we close our ears to you, you do not stop speaking to us. You continue to challenge and comfort us, always longing to be heard. Eternal God, we praise you for your steadfast love towards humanity, for sending us your word of love in human form, the undeserved gift of the life of your Son. So though we still disobey you and find it hard to follow in Christ's way, yet we know you forgive us and will help us, always longing to live in us, always longing for our love, always longing for us to accept your love. And we ask you to accept these our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jean Haston will now do the readings for us.
The first reading is Genesis chapter 45, reading verses 3 to 11 and then 15. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all that you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute.'" And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. And the gospel reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, reading verses 27 to 38. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those to whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Amen.
Thank you, Jean. Our hymn before the sermon is hymn 494, Spirit of God in All That's True. Hymn 494. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be an acceptable offering in your sight, O Lord. Amen. A long time ago, my mother was looking after two of my kids for the day, and she took them a walk up 4th Main Street. The youngest at the time was in a buggy, and the older of the two, Kyle, was walking. As they walked up the main street, there was an old lady being pushed down the main street in a wheelchair. So Kyle was full of questions, asking my mum all about the old lady, what was wrong with her, why was she in a wheelchair, and all that sort of thing. My mum answered as best she could, explaining that she thought the old lady had lost her leg in an accident and couldn't walk, and that she had an artificial leg. As they got nearer, Kyle suddenly took off, ran up to the old lady, and asked if he could see her wooden leg. As you might imagine, my mum was absolutely mortified and wished the ground would swallow her up. Luckily, the old lady took it in good part and even let Kyle touch her artificial leg. But it was a pretty embarrassing moment for my mother. Family life can be full of moments like that. For real life is nothing like in the adverts. All those happy, smiling faces, everyone having a good time and getting on well with each other. It's a common image, the happy family, 2.4 children and a dog. Families that seem so together in every way. The husband has a good job. The wife runs an immaculate house with hardly a speck of dust out of place. And the children never, ever pick their noses in public. Yet for many people, family life is a million miles from this image. Many people go through difficult times in all the relationships, not just their family relationships. Men and women marry with high hopes and come to hate the sight of each other. Children can bring pain and disappointment, and not just joy and satisfaction. Family life can be a struggle, a battle, and not the effortless, untroubled heaven so often depicted in the media. For the truth is, to share your life with another person is a risk. We run the risk of being hurt, the risk of being betrayed. The risk is always there. To become a parent is a risk, for we have no way of knowing how our children will turn out. Someone once wrote that there's no pain like parental pain, but it's a high calling. Mothers and fathers are almost standing in God's shoes and creating. Parents together create another human being. To offer your life to another person in love is an act of faith, an act of love, as is having children. And love always carries a risk. To involve ourselves with other people is always risky. There's the risk of being rejected, the risk of being taken advantage of, the risk of being hurt, no matter what the relationship is. Whether it's friendship, through work, through a common interest like a hobby, whether it's through the church, there's always a risk. Love, friendship, duty, any commitment to another person carries a risk. The Bible is a realistic book. It never suggests that we will live a problem-free life. It's very honest about its heroes. It shows them warts and all. And the Bible's very honest about family life. It shows the bad as well as the good side of it. Every family has its little difficulties. And Jacob's was no exception. He had 12 children, and Joseph the youngest was his favorite. Joseph knew it, and his brothers knew it. And to make matters worse, Joseph was a right little clever clog. And the result was that his brothers resented him and detested him with a vengeance. One day Joseph went out to visit his brothers who were watching the sheep. It seems to have been a rare event because apparently he doesn't even know where his brothers are camped. And when he does find them, the resentment boils over and they decide to kill him, but cooler heads prevail and he's sold to some passing slave traders. And the brothers tell their father Jacob that their favorite son was killed by a lion. But God protects Joseph, And after many adventures, as we read this morning, he becomes one of the most important men in all Egypt. And famine forces Jacob to send his remaining sons, with the exception of Benjamin, to Egypt to buy grain, where they come to Joseph's attention. They're now in his power. They are relying on him, though they do not know it, for their very existence, for their very survival. Joseph can have his revenge. He has the power. He has the opportunity. He certainly has the motive. And who would have said that they didn't deserve it? Who would have said that they didn't have it coming to them, no matter what horrible things Joseph might do to them? But instead, Joseph forgives them, not grudgingly, not half-heartedly, but completely and generously. He puts behind them all the wrongs that they have done to him. The story of Joseph tells how God kept a disintegrating family united by forgiveness and by restraint. Joseph shows the power of forgiveness, how it can heal not just the person who has been hurt, but those who have done the hurting. In forgiving his brothers, Joseph was able to liberate himself from the pain of their betrayal and free them from the guilt they felt for what they had done to him. Now, I don't suppose many of us are likely to find ourselves being sold into slavery by our family or being involved in a story quite as dramatic as that of Joseph. But every family has its problems, and ours are likely to be every bit as painful as Joseph's. For we're all human, and the truth of the matter is that people hurt each other. We can be selfish, foolish, and insensitive, and at times, all three together. There's an old saying that you only hurt the one you love. And while it's not true, for it seems that most people are capable of hurting anyone, it does seem true in the sense that we often reserve the deepest hurts for those who matter most to us, or at least for those to whom we matter the most. Yet, the Bible tells us that we must try to love those who hurt us, that we must try to love those who wound our spirit, those who rob us of dignity, who rob us of hope, for that is what forgiveness means. It's the very breath of Christianity. Whether it be small hurts or years of broken hearts, we're called to forgive. And if we do forgive, something that might have grown like a cancer until it destroys our love and life as a family can be dealt with, can be put to one side, put out of the way. Too often, without forgiveness, the hurt is buried deep within us and simply grows and festers until it explodes at some later date. I'm not saying that forgiving is easy. It's not. To forgive is an act of courage and faith. Courage, because in the normal way of things, pain and hurt demand retribution. And faith, because we know that we may be hurt again. To forgive is hard. Perhaps we find it hard to forgive because we have no idea of how much God has forgiven us. We are asked to forgive because God has first forgiven us. How important is our reputation to us? Jesus was put in trial. The witnesses lied, and the court took his reputation and dragged it through the mud. How important is our body to us? Jesus was taken and beaten and humiliated. They put nails in his hands and feet and pinned him to a piece of wood. They did that to Jesus the first Good Friday. How important is our spirit to us? What if at the time you most needed to be in contact with your Heavenly Father, they laid a beam on your shoulders and made you cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? How important are they to us? Our reputations, our bodies, our spirits. all of these were broken in Jesus. But he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus forgave on the cross. He forgave us all on the cross. We may say that we're not Jesus, but as his followers, we're meant to reproduce the forgiveness that we have received from God and to show it to others. That's why at the very heart of the Lord's Prayer, we find the words, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is the heart of it. God is willing to forgive us, so forgiveness should be the hallmark of our faith. For if we are not prepared to forgive each other, we have little, if anything, to offer to a broken and lost world. For after love, what most people need is forgiveness. We all need to know that we are loved, and we all need to know that we are forgiven. But to forgive does not mean that we've not been hurt, but it does mean that we are prepared to begin again, to free ourselves and the other people from the chains of past hurts. Forgiveness is the oil that keeps the mechanism of life running smoothly. There was once a film called Love Story. It was a blockbuster in its time. It was a real weepy. Boy meets girl. Boy falls in love with girl. Girl contracts incurable illness. But there's a line in it that says, love never means having to say you're sorry. That may be okay in Hollywood, but for the rest of us, love is always having to say that we're sorry. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this preaching of his word, now and forevermore. We worship God in the offering. Let us dedicate the offering in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you were rich, yet for our sake became poor. Help us remember that what we keep, we lose, and what we give away, we gain. Take then these brought offerings, given in this and other ways, and use them to fulfill your purposes on earth, for your name's sake. Amen. We continue our worship with hymn 198, Let Us Build a House. hymn 198. Let us offer up our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, draw near, we pray, to those who are hurting and bind up the brokenhearted. We pray for those who have been wounded by their friends, who who have trusted someone, only to have their trust betrayed, who confided in someone, only to have their secret repeated, who helped someone in their hour of need, but were forgotten when their time came, who were made use of and never even thanked. May they find in you someone whom they can trust and find their security in your faithful and transforming love. We pray for those who have been hurt by their loved ones, who have seen them led astray by their choices or the influence of others, who have seen them turn away from the way of holiness and lose their innocence and have been helpless to do anything about it except keep on loving and praying and hoping, who feel more bitter for the wrongs inflicted on their loved ones than for any inflicted on themselves, and who turn to you for grace and mercy and the ability to forgive. May they find in your family, the family of faith, acceptance, support, and courage to face another day. We pray for those who have lost their peace, who cannot relax or sit still, but must always be feverishly doing something. For those who cannot sleep without medication, for those who are sorely tempted, and for whom defeat is a daily experience, for those whose desires and passions are too strong, who find self-control too hard and are overwhelmed by their own weakness, may they find a peace that passes understanding, a strength to choose right, which only you can give, and a love which brings healing and hope. Bless those who are impoverished in poverty. Bless those for whom violence or the threat of it is never far away. Bless those who are ill or in pain. Bless those where relationships are not right. Bless those who have lost their faith. Bless those who are sad and sorrowing. You are a refuge and strength from all the storms of life. Grant peace to our souls, joy in our hearts, light in our darkness, and in all things we pray, be with us each step of the way. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our final hymn this morning is hymn 130, Ye Servants of God. Hymn 130. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all this day, henceforth, and evermore.